Well, again, good morning, everyone. This is the second in our series, There's Something in the Water. We're going to talk about water is healing. Now, I love Michigan summers. There's a different rhythm to life during the summers in Michigan. People seem lighter and more joyful. Maybe a little frightened last night and this morning, but other than that, joyful and lighter in spirit. From the outdoor parties and gatherings that you have, to late-night campfires, s'mores, what's not to love? There's just one problem. Life and the messy parts still happen. While we may be surrounded by sunshine, those blue skies sometimes find a way to cover us up in deep darkness. Friends will still betray us. Workers get laid off. Car accidents can change lives. Cancer still grows, abuse still happens, families still fight, backs still ache, hearts are still broken, marriages still fall apart, depression still rises up, death still sabotages. And with those dark experiences, we often ask even darker questions like, where are you, God? Do you even see me? Do you not even care? What did I do to deserve this kind of pain? When will I feel normal again? When will the pain stop? Last week, we started again, as I said, a series of teachings called There's Something in the Water. And water is a major part of the summer for Michiganders. And our hope is that while you're at the lake, or watering your garden, or watching the kids run through the sprinkler, that you will be reminded of the spiritual truths we learn from the lessons around water found in Scripture. Last week, we learned that water is life, as Jesus offers us living water that will help us never be thirsty spiritually again. Today, we will learn that water is healing. There is hope for you in any of the pains I just described. I know that hope is sometimes hard to find, but today, if any of the pains I just described are part of your regular life, a part of your story right now, I want to fill you with hope and perspective as we study a beautiful passage of Scripture together. We often build a message to the idea or the main points of the day at the conclusion. You've seen the pastor tricks, right? Well, today, I'm going to give you the points at the beginning. These are three repeatable phrases that I hope you will remember when we go through a time of brokenness. Here they are. God will heal you. My healing may not look like what I expect. My healing may not look what I expect. Let's start with that first one. God will heal you. Oh, and last one, my healing is not just for me. Okay, let's just start with the first one. God will heal you. Now, there's a promise of the Lord in many places in Scripture. In fact, in Exodus 15, he reveals one of his names to us, Jehovah Rapha, which literally means, the Lord who heals. God wants you to heal. God wants you to be whole. Jesus said from the beginning of his ministry when he said, I have come to set the captives free. First public announcement. That's why I'm here. I've come to set the captives free. The healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick do. Jesus wants us to be whole and healthy. Let me take you into a day at two pools with Jesus. We're going to look at two different days and two different stories by two different pools. Let's start by turning to John 9, and if you'd like to do that, go ahead. But let me give you some backstory. There were two popular pools in Jerusalem in the first century. Both stories of these pools are in the Gospel of John. One was the Pool of Siloam. This pool is what we looked at from a different angle 3 weeks ago, but it was a good pool. It was where people would hang out, and they would socialize, and then they would get a ritual cleansing for worship. The pool had a natural spring that continued to give it natural fresh water. In fact, this actual pool was discovered only 17 years ago, 2005, when workers were repairing a sewer pipe in Old Jerusalem. The other pool was in John chapter 5, and that was the pool of Bethesda. So this pool was known for miracles. Okay, so the sick, the lame, the infirmed would gather in hope of healing. This too was fed by a natural spring, but because of how the spring fed it, the water stirred. People believe that the natural stirring of the water in the Pool of Bethesda was actually caused by an angel descending into the pool. itself. Subsequently, the first person descending into the pool would be miraculously healed from all their afflictions. That's got to be a tense sidelines, don't you think? Hence, the pool of Bethesda was continuously surrounded by those in need of healing. Just imagine that. It's that red rectangular area is there. With that backstory, let's start there by looking at verse 1 through 3 of John 5. Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people gathered, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for such a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Let's pause there. Did you see that? Jesus asked a man, this man, if you want to get well. I love this question. A knee-jerk response would be, duh. Of course he wanted healing. But really think about it. Some people get so comfortable with their disability that it becomes their identity. It's like when I'm in a deep sleep, don't turn on the bright lights. Some of us are actually afraid of healing. We sometimes say, the pain is all I know, so I don't think I want to be healed. That's worthy of deep consideration for us. This is why we are doing a big series this fall called Questions Jesus Asked. And you won't want to miss it, but that's for the fall. So Jesus sees this crippled man and asks him if he wants to be healed. Look at his response. "Sir," the crippled man replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred while I am trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me." You can just picture the selfishness of the people at the pool. Their belief system certainly shaped how they lived. They believed that the first one in the pool got the healing. So why would they ever help a crippled man in? Well, they didn't. Did you see what we do in ministry together matters? Belief systems shape your behavior. Their superstitious beliefs about the healing powers of this water caused them to step over this man as they craved healing for themselves. So Jesus saw the man by the pool. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. You see, Jesus healed him. The man was cured. Our God is a healing God. And notice, the man never dipped his toe into the waters. Supposed healing waters. Which illustrates our second point today. My healing may not look like what I expect. See, he expected to wade in the miracle waters, then be able to walk from that. But Jesus spoke, he listened, and was healed. Let's hold this thought and pause there. Let's turn to John 9. Just outside of this pool, the pool of Siloam, there was a blind man. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I'm so grateful for these 5 verses. They've put to rest a perception of what many people have, that our Creator God is a God of vengeance, trying to catch us to do something wrong and then punishing us. You've heard it. This has been a common assumption in most cultures throughout history. We need to appease the gods by throwing the virgin into the volcano as a sacrifice sort of philosophy. This idea of punishment was certainly on the minds of the disciples, as they had only 2 possibilities for this man's blindness. Either he sinned or his parents sinned. Somebody messed up. I've had that feeling many times in times of trial. Jesus makes it clear here that your current pain is not the result of the wrath of an angry God. That's why Jesus' answer is deeply profound. He corrected them and said, "This happened so that God can show us His power. Remember, God is a healing God. I know what question this may bring up because I've wrestled with the same question. So why does God heal some and not others? I know people who are still blind. I have prayed and fasted that friends wouldn't die, and they still did. How can we say that God is a healing God when some aren't ever healed? Let's hold on to that tension as we continue, shall we? The next verse. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So Jesus spit, made a mud pie, and stuck it on the man's eyes. Well, that took a turn. What's that about? Well, there's great debate, but the primary thought is this. Jesus chose to use the most common medical practices of the day. The ancient Roman treatment for eye problems was using spittle each morning in your eyes, and when they would shake the dust off their feet, they would touch their eyes three times with the muddy water. So the thought is that Jesus was simply entering into their world. We can make this deduction because no one commented how gross it was. So picture the scene. Jesus makes a mud pack, puts it in the eyes of the blind man, tells him to go to the pool. People would have been staring at him with mud on his face. You would have noticed this guy. End of the verse. So the man went and washed in the pool of Siloam and came home what? Seeing. So again, Jesus healed him, which fits our first point. Our God heals. The man was healed. But remember point two, my healing may not look like what I expect. My healing may not look like what I expect. This point is certainly true. First, mud from saliva in the eyes. Then secondly, note what pool Jesus sends him to. Right? The pool of Siloam was more of a Jewish mikveh bath for washing dirt off. It was not, all capital letters, not a healing pool. So why didn't Jesus send him to the pool of Bethesda, which was a healing pool? Because our healing often doesn't look like what I expect. Think back to what I talked about in the very beginning today. Summer's fun, but pain and suffering, or as we mentioned before, chaos. Remember chaos? Chaos doesn't take a vacation. Doctors still give grim diagnoses. COVID still attacks. Friends still betray. Fires, hurricanes, floods still happen. Abductions still occur. Abuses of all forms destroy lives. You get my point. All of us face brokenness, and all of us need to be rescued. It's 100% of us. I hope you hear my words today. God does heal. Some of you needed to be in our public gathering in person and just to hear these words. You will be healed. That's my promise. Jehovah Rapha is a God who heals. There is a common phrase that I love. If it's not good, God's not done. If it's not good, God's not done. Romans 8:28 promises that God will bring all things to the good, right? So just look at your situation today. Is it good? If it's not, God's not done. Keep hanging in there because your healing will come. But this is why point two is so critical for us to understand. Your healing may not look like what you expect. In both cases, by the pools, Jesus healed them in ways they did not expect. Both those guys. The blind man didn't get sent to the famous healing pool of Bethesda. And yet, crazier yet, he had mud in his eyes. And in the case of the crippled man, he didn't even go to the healing waters. Why? Because Jesus heals us where we need to be healed. Jesus knew in both cases what the men needed even more than they did. The crippled man needed his faith restored and to shed the superstition. That's why he didn't even dip into the pool of the healing waters. He'd been there for years, never getting in. Had he done that, he would have put his faith in the waters and not Jesus, the living water. Both of them needed more than just the physical. Look back at the verses. The crippled man who was healed had no idea who healed him, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." We don't know more about the crippled man's backstory, but he had some kind of sin in his life. Sin is what hurts us, not God. Sin causes chaos and suffering so often in this world. Jesus seems to be more concerned about the man's rebellion than about his physical healing. The physical healing is like a secondary thing. His rebellion, his sinful nature, was what needed to be healed. Jesus wants his spiritual life to be healed as well. In the case of the blind man who could now see, Jesus heard that the religious leaders had thrown the man out, and when Jesus found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." "I believe," and he worshiped Jesus. Again, Jesus led this man to spiritual healing in the midst of the physical healing in the blind man. Like I said in the beginning, Jesus wants us to become whole. Not just physically, not just spiritually, but emotionally and sexually and relationally. In both all these cases, the physical healing happened differently than expected, but Jesus had a deeper agenda with both. I'm convinced that he has the same desire for us. So my prayer is that we don't settle in our prayers for healing with just what we think needs to be healed. I want what God wants. I want wholeness for all of our lives. My prayer is that we can release our agenda to the Lord. There have been so many times that I've stood over a casket of someone who was taken way too young, and my faith was shaken, only to see that God had used that moment to heal me and to heal the family in ways we couldn't have experienced without the pain. Did God cause the pain? No. Did God use it to heal us in ways I could never have imagined? Without question. There are so many times all I can pray is, God, give me eyes to see how you are going to heal this. Because this pain and this suffering seems never ending. My timeline for healing, by the way, and I'm guessing it's true for you too, is rarely God's timeline for healing. But when I have eyes to see, I've been amazed at profound depth that happens when I've released my expectations to the Lord. Additionally, years ago, I was much guarded against pain, but as I've faced so many deep valleys at times, personally and as a pastor, I found people who don't trust God for the healing often end up broken down. But those who look for what the living water of Christ, if they let that water wash over them in their pain, they're often broken open and something amazing grows from their pain. We've also come to realize that I can't ever get to experience the miraculous healing touch of God unless I'm first sick or broken. And that leads us to the third point. We've talked heavily about the first two points throughout this message from these 2 days at the poolside with Jesus. Now, this is the hardest point to swallow, especially if you are currently in the situation. So please understand that this point is to be understood from a big picture perspective. The third point is, my healing is not just for me. I really dislike it when people say, "I can help other people now that I've experienced that pain." Well, when I'm in the pain, that's the last thing I want to hear. Because I'm still in the intensity of the suffering. But when you and I are away from the pain, the lessons from our scars really tell the most remarkable testimony of who our God is. That's why I started saying, I really don't want to follow someone who doesn't have a limp. People with limps have a deeper understanding of God's healing power. In both cases, the healed blind man and the crippled man told the religious leaders and people of what Jesus did. They were living witnesses of God's healing touch. In fact, the word Siloam literally means sent. And I wonder if another reason Jesus put mud on the eyes of the blind man and made him walk to the pool is because that everyone would see him. So after his healing, his testimony would be so plain and so clear. I can't tell you the number of times I've grieved with someone and then was able to bring them words of comfort because I could say, I've been there, and I could describe the pain and thus give them tremendous hope. So saying that I can help somebody because I've suffered from the pain is what I don't want to hear, but doing it is what I want to have happen. Don't make it a point to say, I was there and here's how I suffered. You comfort them because you were comforted in some way. Does that make sense? I'm not going to look at you because I'm just assuming you're all nodding your heads yes. Maybe you're walking in bitterness today. I hope you hear these points. God will heal you. My healing may not look like what I expect. And my healing is not just for me. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, you are our friend, you are our Father, you are our Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Help us pray to you correctly for our friends and neighbors and for ourselves who are suffering, who are in need of healing. Let the pains and the suffering and the trials of our lives be used to comfort others. Let us be conduits of your peace. Let us be the pool of Siloam that helps those that need to be washed. Let us lead them to the Son of Sons, the one who rose and is coming again. It's in his precious name we pray, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.